Amen, amen. What do you think about those kids? Isn't it awesome? I wish I would have stayed with the Lord when I was young. And you miss those. I was 17, and you kind of miss those years and the joy that comes with it. So encourage them to stick with it. Let them enjoy it. Well, how's everybody doing on their 50 days of transformation? Your devotionals, your goals, your Bible reading, your Bible study. Everybody doing pretty good, plugged in? Feels good this morning. You get up and it was raining. I don't know about you guys. When I came to church, it was flat out raining when I came in this morning at 7 o'clock. So it's kind of nice. I enjoy it. We've been looking at how to be healthy. How do I live a healthy life? And we're not talking about physical health. I went to the doctor this week and they want to do more. You know, it's like I got to go do an EKG now. You know, it's like, oh, what else? But we've been talking about our spiritual health, our physical health, our emotional health, our mental health. And last week we did our relational health. And I'm going to tell you, enjoyed last week's. I needed last week. Anybody else need last? I really needed last week's last week. It came at a perfect time for me. But this morning I want to talk about our financial health. Now, isn't it fun? You come to church and the church talks about money. That's all the church ever talks about, right? You know, that's all. You come to church and all we want is your money. Come in and give me your money and all of that. It's not true, all right? First of all, I'm not going to talk about tithing. I'm not going to talk about giving. I'm not going to ask you to put another 2 cents in. I'm not going to go there this morning. But here's what I want to help you do, though. I want to help you be financially healthy, all right? Because I'm going to tell you, money will mess you up. Anybody on board with that one? Money will mess you up with worry. Money will mess you up with stress. Money will mess you up with anxiety. You know, the money runs out and the month's not over. Anybody in that boat? Yeah. And it's only the fifth, right? You know, and so how do we become, and how do we become good stewards? I was sharing with somebody this morning. I'll be honest with you. God doesn't need your money, all right? You know, if God wanted money here, if God wanted to rain money down, you know, pennies from heaven, they could fall. Really? God could do that. But God wants you to take care of your money for your benefit. That's what this message is about this morning. It's about you. And it's about for your benefit. So keep that in mind as I share God's word with you this morning. We're going to look at parables that Jesus taught that is very misunderstood. And you might be, some of you may have, you read your Bible, you might have read the parable of the unfaithful steward that's losing his job. They call it the dishonest steward. Anybody ever read that one? The dishonest manager? You know, and here God's telling a story about a guy who's dishonest. And he's the key character and the hero in the. And so we're going to look at that parable this morning. But I want you to think about your finances and where they're at. And how challenging and difficult it is. Because here's the truth. I'm going to tell you, God talks more about our money than he talks about heaven and hell. Did you know that? That there's more scripture in the New Testament from Jesus dealing with our money than it is with heaven and hell. And we need to be aware of that. And so how do we deal with it? How do we manage our money well? And I think this is a good way to look at the story because he's called a manager. So it's not in your bulletin. It's going to be on the screen. I couldn't put all the scriptures and fit it all in there, so I put really small print. And I didn't want to do that because I couldn't read it. So I wrote it here. So let's look at this parable. And keep in mind, he's talking about this unfaithful, shrewd. I'm going to use the word shrewd because it's here. Steward. Jesus told this story to his disciples. All right. I want to make sure I get it, set the context. Jesus has been teaching several. So if you turn in the Gospel of Luke, turn to the 16th chapter. Kind of go back a little bit, even go back. He's telling parable after parable after parable. He's telling these stories. He's painting a picture with words. It's called a parable. Just look at a parable as a picture with words. And he's painting this picture with words, and he's telling them this parable. And now he comes to this one in the 16th chapter, and his disciples are there. But they're not the only ones there. All right? You know, just his disciples are there, and there's some others on the outskirts group that's gathered there. And they're called the Pharisees. They are fans of Jesus, right? No, they're not fans of Jesus. They were looking for ways to get him. They wanted to take him out. They wanted to eliminate him. So they're there and they're listening. Now all of a sudden Jesus begins this teaching. He says, there was a certain rich man who had a manager handling affairs. Now the Pharisees were rich people. They were the power brokers of their time. They were the religious leaders and the brokers of their time. They owned the land. They owned the sheep. They owned the harvest. They were the power brokers of their time. And so here, all of a sudden he's saying, now here's this rich man with his manager. And you can just kind of get a picture in your mind of these Pharisees going, okay, now let's see what he's going to talk about. Because he's talking about me now. And he's talking about me. I'm that rich man. You know, we all have managers managing our shepherds. We all have managers managing our harvest. We all have men. And so all of a sudden, he's not only got his disciples' attention, he's got the Pharisees' attention. And they're all leaning in. And it says, one day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. And you can just see them going, yep, yep, I know what he's talking about now. I got to really watch my manager. They're going to cheat me. They're going to steal from me. And so here Jesus saying, here, and so they just even lean in a little bit more. They want to hear this story. So the employer called him and said, what's this I hear about? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. And they're going, yep. You could just see the disciples sitting there, but the Pharisees just kind of over their shoulder leaning in. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig a ditch, and I'm too proud to beg. I like that. He says, I can't do anything else. I can't do it. I can't. I'm not strong enough to dig a ditch, and I'm too proud to do anything else. I do to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm afraid. Now, how do you get your friends? You buy them, right? All right, let's see what he says. So he invited each person who owed him money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? He replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager told him, take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. And how do you owe your employer? He asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. The manager said, take that bill and change it to 800 bushels. He said, okay, I'm going to cut you some slack. I'm going to be shrewd. This is what it says, the rich man. Now, there are all these guys sitting there, Pharisees leaning in, and they're going, yep, yep, they would do something like that. They would do something. And the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for his shrewd. Why don't you say shrewd? Well, you don't have it, do you? Well, write it down somewhere then. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than they are the children of the light. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, where's he going? What's happening? We were bought into this. We were engrossed in this conversation, and now this is all changed. Here's the lesson, Jesus says. Use your worldly reach to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to eternal home. If you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. If you're untrustworthy about a worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with the things your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you cannot serve both God and money. Boy, I really read that one kind of rough, didn't I? But yeah, I want to see a picture. They start out leaning in because it's the rich man. And now all of a sudden, what Jesus has did, guess who the hero of the story is? The shrewd manager. And so all of a sudden this is saying, God has blessed you with all this riches, you rich guys, but you're not managing it well. All of a sudden they thought they were the rich men in Jesus' parable. He says, you need to be the manager. You need to be the manager. He's challenging them with this idea. One out of six verses in the Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses in those Gospels talk about money. All right? One out of every six. Do you know 57% of marriages claim as number one cause of the divorce is money? I read some stuff today and I had to write it. I only had an envelope with me, so I wrote down these statistics. 42% of Americans have nothing for retirement. 46% could not cover a $400 medical bill emergency. 8 out of 10 have some form of debt. 7 out of 10 believe debt is necessary. Many live paycheck to paycheck. I like this phrase. It says, buy as soon as I get the money, buy before I get the money. Yeah. Anybody remember saving to get it? Remember when you were a kid, your parents told you what? Anybody? You want that? Well, you save your allowance and then you can get it. Now, you get older, you get a credit card, you don't want to wait, do you? You know, now, I want it now. You know, we live in the immediate satisfaction. But I want you to see this. And so look at what it says. Now, you do have this verse in your outline, okay? So you can follow this along right here in your outline. The Pharisees really love money. So when they heard what Jesus said, they made fun of him. But Jesus told them, you are always making yourselves look good. But God sees what's in your heart. The things that matter, the things that most people think important are worthless as far as God is concerned. How many think money is the most important thing? Nobody raised their hand. And if you did, you wouldn't raise your hand, would you? It's like, I ain't raising my hand on that one. Yeah. But we all want money. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be honest. I want more. Anybody want more? I mean, I want more. You know, just a little bit more. You know, have you ever lived your life and you're going, well, if I just get a raise this year, whoop. And you get the raise and it's like it wasn't enough. Anybody? You know, do we wrestle with those kind of things? How do we live with this? How do we live? And that's what I want to talk about. I'm not going to talk about giving. I'm not going to talk about time. I'm going to talk about how do you live a stress-free life? Man, I'm having trouble this morning. Maybe I shouldn't ate that cookie before church. I did have a cookie. You know? But how do we how do we deal with that worry? How many of us have ever gone to bed worrying about the bills? How many go to work stressing because you're sick and you don't want to go to work and you're sick as a dog, but you have to go to work because you know what? You just can't afford. You can't afford to miss the day. Anybody been in that boat? You know, you wrestle with those. You know, well, how can we get out of that cycle? How do we get out of that battle in our lives? And I think this parable says 4 things not to do and 6 things to do. All right? So I'm going to look at the 4 things real quick. What not to do? You got your outline out there. What not to do? I'm going to say it this way. Don't waste it. Don't waste your money. All right? How many of us have ever bought something, you go home, and a week later you go, why did I buy that? Anybody besides me? What was I thinking? You know? Like I tell you guys, you hear me say this all the time, Costco is that impulse buying store. You know, and you got to get a forklift to get the coffee in your car, right? You know, you don't just get a little can of coffee; you get a 100-pound bag of coffee. You know, but that's our. You know, America is always bigger is better, isn't that American thing? You know, don't waste what you have. Be good stewards of what you have. See, that's what it said here. There was a certain rich man who had a manager. Circle that word, manager. Handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting, circle that word, his employer's money. See, we've been given the privilege of managing the money God has blessed us with. I'm going to get to a point in a minute because I want to talk about this manager idea. Because we are just managers. Everything we have is on loan from God. I own nothing. Yeah. I always like the question, I fill out these surveys, do you own your home? No, I don't own my home. I'm still paying for it. And here's the thing, I am almost paid off. But something, even when I'm almost paid off, I still got to pay taxes. It just never, anybody know, it just never ends. You know, it's like my house is paid off. Oh boy, I'm going to have that going to the rent for my house. That's going to free up some money. Then there's that big chunk. Yeah. And we're just managers. We just manage all of this. And it's a gift from God. Do we waste it? Now, that's a hard question. Some of you guys know I'm a Disney fanatic, right? I like going to Disneyland. Is that a waste?
No.
All right. Some of you may think so, but I think so. You know? But we do need to think about how our money goes. You know, we do need to worry about how that money goes. So we need to think about that. So don't waste it. Maybe you want to write a word down there, and we're going to talk about it. Write the word think. Because most of us shop by our feelings. I'll feel better if I get this, right? This will make me feel good. We need to think. So how about the second one? Don't love it. Don't love money. All right? I like that little phrase I put in your bulletin. I found it this week. You know, if you love your money, but will your money ever love you? You know, I seen that on the internet. I got to put that in the bulletin. I'm going to tell you what. Your money is never going to love you. It's never going to be there for you. You know? It's always going to disappear. And that's what it is. So don't love your money. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate the one or the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I want you to circle the word cannot. It didn't say you might not be able to, or you shouldn't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Anybody ever have two bosses ask you at the same time? It's like, now who do I go to? Which one do I go to? And who do I go? Yeah. You can't serve. You can't have God as number one and money as number one. Only one can be number one. And so you can't. Don't love your money. Don't love your money. How about this next one? Don't trust it for security. Now, those of us in this valley in the last 8 years know this one well, right? You know, we bought homes. We invested in our homes. And then in 2008, what? Anybody know what happened in 2008? It just blew up, didn't it? My house went from $400,000 to $122,000 in just a few weeks. Anybody been in that boat? You know, some of you were upside down. Some of you had to short sell. I got my own home. I'm secure now. I'm safe. Nobody can take my home. That's me. You need to know that. You know, I've been living in a house where my landlord said, I want the house for my daughter. You got 30 days. Be gone. Yeah, you tried to find a house before they built all these homes in Salida 30 years ago. You ain't going to find one. Yeah. I ended up living on the duplex over here where the murders happened. Somebody goes, there was a murder in Salida? Yeah, there was a murder. And I lived in the other half of the duplex. Yeah. Thanks, God. Yeah. But we put our security in money, don't we? Just, look at what it says. The manager thought to himself, now what? What am I going to do? I had all this and now I have nothing. My boss has fired me. I don't have my strength to dig a ditch and I'm too proud to beg. Now what? See, don't put your faith in your money. It's never going to be there. You know, I had somebody give me a dollar this morning. I don't know if I'm going to ever give it back. But I got a dollar. Stephen offered me more, though. I should have took his. On the back of this dollar, there's an eagle. You may ever say, money talks? I'm going to tell you, it doesn't talk. It walks away quietly. I found that phrase. Then I found this phrase. You know why money has an eagle on it? Because it flies away. Anybody have their money fly away? You ever wonder, you know, you're sitting there and you look at your checkbook and you go, where did all that go? You know, because it just flies. It's like, where, you know, and you ever pull your wallet out and you go, where did I spend that? Anybody? You know, we wrestle with this and it battles us. And so, but we think we're going to be secure. If I just get a little money, I'm safe. You know, I always want a little money. I got to have a little money. You know, my wife and I, we go to San Francisco, take our grandson to San Francisco. He wanted to eat in Chinatown. So we go to Chinatown and I eat off of one of the side streets. I didn't want to eat at one of the tourist places. So I eat off one of the side streets. Sit down. We order, and something in my head goes this. You better ask if they take a credit card. So I said, you take credit card? And she goes, no. So, okay. I have to get up, run down the street to one of those ATM machines. Anybody like those things? Yeah, I had to go down there, and they get to keep some of my money to give me my money. Yeah. And I had to run down there because I don't carry. Anybody? You know, it just disappears. And so don't put your security. How about this last one? Don't expect it to satisfy. Oh, let me get your money has gone as a flash, as it has grown wings and flown away like an eagle. See, it's on our dollar. America knew that. Don't expect it to satisfy. You'll never have enough. I don't care how much you make. The surveys I've read, even those who make millions of dollars always want a little bit more. How much more do you need? Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. That's all I need. You know, if I just had $100 more, and if I just had $200 more, if I just had another $1,000, I could make it through. We always want just a little bit more. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired. I know what I need to do. I know what it's going to make to satisfy me. I just got to get some friends around me. How about this next one? He who loves money will not be satisfied, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Then here's another one. Then he said, beware, guard against every kind of greed, like is not measured. Life is not measured by how much you own. Listen, your self-worth is not determined by your net worth. Anybody? You know, it doesn't matter how much you have or how much you own. You know, I've been around some people who have lots, and I've been around people who don't have much. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I like being around the people who don't have much. You know, I don't know about you. They just seem more giving and more heartfelt. But I know some people who are significantly secure, and they're still just as nice. You know, it doesn't. It's character that matters. Is that what I'm saying? Isn't that a good way to character is what matters? So how do you get there? How do we deal with that money? How do I manage it in a way that helps me live stress-free, that helps me deal with the worries and the stress and the bills that come in? You know, every week, you know, I keep mine. I got a computer, and I keep all my money on my computer. You know, and so first of the month comes around, or the last of the month, and that kind of five-day span there, I sit down, and I start putting all my money in. Laura's paycheck, my paycheck, this is going. Then they start pushing the other buttons that says, okay, where's this money going? You got it all prepaid segment. You know, push this. What are you going to pay? Pay my house payment. Pay PG&E. Pay MID. Pay. How much do I got left? 20. Oh, boy, I'm rich. Anybody been in that boat? You know? You got that nice computer program that tells you what you don't have. You know? But we need that. So what do we do? Here's how I'm going to have you so you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to stress about it anymore. Here's the first thing you got to do. And I put it this way. It all belongs to God. Everything you have belongs to God. Let me add this to you. Write this down somewhere, some way. I'm going to tell you. You know what you deserve? Nothing. All right? You deserve nothing. I deserve nothing. You know what that makes? That makes everything in life a blessing. Did you know that? You know, do I work hard? I think I work hard. You know, one day a week, hour and a half, I'm done. You know, I work hard. Look, I'm up here sweating. It's hot up here. You know, we all work hard. We struggle. We go through life working hard. And then, but you know what? It's all a blessing. I own none of it. It all belongs to God. If you make something, I'm going to ask you, if you make something and you create something, whose is it? If you made it and you created it, whose is it? It's yours, right? Who made this world? Who created everything in this world? God did. You don't think so? Go read Genesis, okay? You can talk to the scientists. Go talk to the scientists. I have no problem with scientists and all that kind of stuff, because here's my question. Where did it begin? Where'd that come from? It was a big bang. Well, where did that come from? It was a big bang. God spoke. Bang. It's there. You know? Because I do. Aristotle and all those philosophies, I had fun in college doing that kind of stuff. Because there has to be a first move mover. Did you know that? Nothing moves unless something moves it. You know, my car's out in that parking lot. It's not going to move until, my wife drives it, not me, okay? You know, that's when it's going to move. It is set there. It could set there all week if nobody got out there and touched. See, God created everything. I believe that. You can call me crazy and I don't understand science. And I believe there's a God. And I believe God created everything. And it belongs to Him. at the privilege of being a manager. Look again. Once there was a rich man who had a manager. The rich man here is God, and we're the managers. He's given us the privilege of caring for all this. Everything belongs to him. My house, my car, my bed. I'm going to go sit down and have lunch. Guess who gave the lunch? It all belongs to God, and he's loaned it to me, and it's mine to use here. Because you know, someday, guess what? Someday I'm going to die. Am I going to take it with me? I own it. Put it in my casket. You know? Go look in the tombs in Egypt. They owned it. Guess where it's at? It's still there unless somebody stole it. You know? We need to understand, we just have this privilege to manage all that God has given us, to enjoy all that God has given us. And that's a privilege. It all belongs to God. And so we're just managers of everything. And so when you look at money that way, you know, it's like, God, I need to paint my house. Wait, God. You need to get your house painted. You want to know something? Here's what I believe, okay? God, you need to get your house painted. Somewhere, some way, some shape, guess what? God's going to bless with the finances to do it. I believe that. Am I crazy? I don't think so. Some of you are going, but I don't think so. You know? Anybody got kids? God, your kid needs braces. Right? Come on, God. I can't afford that, God. Anybody been up trying to get braces on a kid? You know, God, that's your kid. You know, it's like a husband and wife. You know, when they're good, they're the wives. When they're not, they're the husbands, right? You know? God, that's your kid. He needs braces. It all belongs to God. It's all a gift from God. It's on loan. When you see everything on loan from God, it's got to fix it. God, you got to take care of it. How many of us could tell testimonies of maybe a broken car or an emergency medical situation or somewhere that we had this need and all of a sudden God blessed us and met that need? Anybody been in that boat? You guys are awful quiet. Come on now. Anybody been in that boat? Say amen if you've been in that boat. See? You know? God provides. It belongs to him. And we need to see that. How about the next one I put down here? You want to do well with your money? You need to remember this every day. God is using your money to test you. God is using your money to test you. He wants to know, can you handle it? Are you a good steward? The passage says this, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? Why should God bless you, heavenly rewards and heavenly blessings, if you can't be trustworthy with your finances? All right? It just doesn't happen. It doesn't work. And so you got to be trustworthy with your finances. And so God wants to see, and I want you to circle the word there, and we're going to come back to this several times in this. Where are those riches at? Heaven. Circle that. See, Jesus playing. Here's these Pharisees. Come back to those Pharisees. You know, they're living with their wealth, and they got dishonest managers. And here's Jesus praising this one manager who's shrewd. And showing that even in that shrewdness, you can learn something. And now he says, listen, if you're untrustworthy, who's being untrustworthy? The Pharisees. They're not managing it well. See, Jesus has turned this around where they thought they were the rich man to where they're the are basically dishonest managers. See, and so we need to step back and see, this is a test. How much can I handle? You ever do that with your kid? Anybody ever have a child growing up? You give them a little responsibility to see how they're going to handle it. Anybody ever do that with a child? You know, here's this little bit. You can do this, or you can go down to the corner, but don't go past the corner. Anybody ever, come on, you guys. Anybody ever just go, you know, you set these boundaries just enough, you know, to see, can I trust them? You know, being a clock, you know, being at 7, being when the sun goes down, you know, can you trust them? Well, that's what God is doing. God is testing us. How much can you handle? How much can you deal with? How much can you deal with? So God has said, so here's some ways God tests us. Here's this one. Money shows what you love most. Now, years ago, I would have said this. Open your checkbook and look at your checkbook. You know what you love the most. Right? Now I say, open your credit card statement. All right? You want to know what you love most? Look at your credit card statement. Where am I spending money? You need to know I worry about this. For me, I told you guys, I'm a Disney fan. Do I spend, now, I said I'm not going to talk about tithing, but this is for me, okay? I worry about, do I spend more at Disneyland than I give to God? I have asked myself that question. I have. It's like, okay, God, who's getting most? At one time I wanted to buy Disney stock, but I haven't. I could have bought Disney stock at $17 a share. It's worth like $75 or $90 now. I can't remember. I didn't check it lately. I used to kind of check it just to say, man, I could have been rich. But I just couldn't do it. So I haven't. I want to buy Disney, because I just. But do we worry about this? It's going to test us. What do I love the most? How do I deal with it the most? Look at what it says here. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven. Remember we talked about heaven earlier, that verse that Jesus told, that parable talked about heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will also be. Where's your heart? I can tell you, you look at your credit card statement, you'll know where your heart is. Look at that. If you don't have credit, look at your checkbook then. Because it's true. And then we stress over it and we worry about it and we need to be good managers of it. Now, when I'm talking about being a good manager, let's see, is it in here? Can I get to it? I'll wait. I'll get this in a minute. How about this next one? Money shows what you really trust most. Money shows what you really trust most. What do you trust most? The stock market? Man, it's going good right now. And it's just climbing, climbing, climbing. I trust my dollar. I trust the investment in my house. Yeah, $400,000. It's 136. I think it's up to 200 and something now. I'm not selling it. But, where do you put your trust? What are you trusting most in your life? Where's your security? The dollar? I was looking over, anybody doing their income tax? I was looking over my income tax and getting my income tax all done. And I was thinking back when I was in college. I made my income tax $5,000. Man, that was a lot of money. 1976, I made $5,000. That was a lot of... Who can live on $5,000 a year here? I trust my $5,000. Yeah, it's going to get me a long ways today. We need to, what do we trust most in our lives? How do we trust it with our life? Your securityness makes you feel good. What do you do with it? How about this next one? Money also shows if God can trust you. See, just kind of the reverse. Can God trust you? Can God trust you with what he gives you? Are you going to be a faithful manager? A good steward of what God has blessed you with? Out of control finances? Debt? Unmanaged lives? And then we wonder why we get stressed, why we can't sleep at night with our bills and everything. Who created the situation? See, and God wants to know if he can trust us. How about this next one? I'm going to keep on going. Money is a tool to be used for God's purposes. I was telling somebody on the way in, let me tell you. You go to church and the church says, give 10%. I'm going to tell you what. God not only cares about the 10, he cares about that other 90%. All right? God gave you the 100%. He wants to make sure you do the 100% well. How are you managing 100% of what God gave you? It's all a tool. It's a tool to achieve God's purpose of helping you build. One of my favorite passages is John 10:10. Anybody on board with John 10:10? We should. If you don't know that one, that's a verse. Remember, the latter part. First part is not so nice. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy you, right? The second part says Jesus came to have life. That's what God wants. That's the purpose of your finances. Now, if you're stressing over your finances, is that abundance? If you're worried about your finances, is that abundance? If you're frustrated with your finances, is that abundance? See? And so it's a tool. It's the tool God uses in our life. And so when we're poor managers of our finances and we're stressed and we're God, I need more, and God's saying, I can't give you more. You can't even deal with what I've given you. It's a tool. Money will never make you happy. God will. Anybody? God's that answer. You're frustrated and worried and stressed and anxiety. God is not more money. God, if I just give me a little bit more money this year, this week, it'll go better. How much is my raise going to be this year, God? And if it's just, you know, Social Security, you're going to get a big raise, right? Come on. Some of you guys should be laughing with that one. Does Social Security ever give you a big raise? Yeah. But we just, you know, just give me. But it's a tool. I'm going to ask you, how are you using your finances as a tool? As a tool. Look at what it says. Here's the lesson. This is Jesus. Here's the lesson, Jesus says. Use your worldly resources to benefit and make friends. So take your money and go buy your friends. Yeah. Now, I can tell you stories, and I've seen this, and some of you can probably identify this. I've been here in Salida long enough to see somebody get their checks and have all their friends with them, drinking and partying for 5 days. And then the money's gone, and guess what else is gone? The friends. Anybody seen that happen? Am I the only one seeing that? Yeah. You don't buy your friends. You can't. But what you do is you build relationships. You know how to build a ship? I'll give you a really good idea. We're going to get out of here before 12. Take me out to lunch. I'll be your friend. Come on! You know? You're a friend. That scripture says, more blessed to give than receive. I like that. I like to bless others. I do. It's hard to receive. Anybody have it hard to receive? I would rather give than receive. That's just, do I like getting things? I can't wait for my birthday. Yes, I like getting things. You know, Christmas is fun. But I'm going to tell you, for me, you know what's more fun at Christmas time? It's giving to my grandkids. Forget the kids. I want to give to the grandkids. You know? Because that's where it's fun. You know? See, there's a tool. You know, there's a joy. You know, you sit there and you wait for them to unwrap the present. I had the blessing. I took two of my grandkids to Disneyland. I paid half the ticket price. My daughter paid the other half for the two grandkids to go to Disneyland. I had a double blessing. I got to give them the ticket, then I got to take them to Disneyland. Sometimes it wasn't a blessing down there, but it was fun. You chase a couple of kids around, it's, oh, yeah. Is it a tool? Are you using your money as a tool? And it's, well, I need more money to have the tool. No, you don't. I'm going to tell you, you want more money, be faithful with what you got. And God will give you more. All right? It's that simple. That's the principle that we have here. So benefit others and you'll be happier with your finances. So here's what he had to do. And this is really good. I like what he said. He looked ahead. That manager looked ahead. I'm getting fired, he goes. The manager thought to himself, what will I do since my master is taking my job away from me? I am not strong enough to dig ditches, and I'm ashamed to beg. I circle that. What will I do? You need to think, what will you do? 42% of people don't have savings or a pension plan for retirement. 42%. I'm going to live on Social Security. How many of you can live on Social Security check? You guys should be laughing with me. Come on. You know, it's just not going to happen. You know, but you need to look ahead. I'm going to buy this, pay for that. I'm going to save to get this. Anybody remember layaway? Anybody remember layaway? Some of you guys are going, I have no idea what layaway is. You used to go to Kmart. Come on now. You go to Kmart, you'd pick this up. You'd go to a window that said layaway. And you'd say, will you hold this? I'll come back and pay a little bit at a time. And then you give it to me when it's paid for. I want it now. Give me a credit card. We need to look ahead. I'm going to give you a little hint. If you don't have a budget, you don't have a plan. That's my next point. Let me read the scripture here again. Let's go to the next point. I got to open this up here. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face facts. But the next thing says he made a plan. I know what I'll do. He made a plan. I know what I'm going to do. I've got. If you don't have a budget, you don't have a plan. Do you hear me? Now, I don't like budget. I like spending plan. Budget says you can't. Spending says this is where it's going. There's all sorts of plans. You get an envelope, so you put it in envelopes. Anybody doing the envelope plan? There's an envelope plan out there. You know, you got Dave Ramsey. You got Crown Ministries. You got all sorts of plans, but you got to have a plan. A plan, then you're. Well, I'll tell you what. You're going to hit that plan. If you don't have a plan, you're going to make that plan come true. Yeah. When I first entered the ministry, the first church I went to, I said, you know, they're sending out what they're going to pay me, and I told them this: pay me less, and start putting so much into what's called the annuity board at that time, and start putting money. I was 27 years old, and having them put money into an annuity plan for me by taking less money from them. When I came here to Salida, same agreement we had, and the church said, whatever they're going to pay me, they're going to put 10% in, and then the government says 10% is not enough, you're going to need 15, so they raise it to 15. So the trustees of this church make sure that I'm going to be a good steward. They help me be a good steward. You might need some help. You know, some of you have jobs that match what you give. Well, I just can't give anything. I'm going to tell you, you better start. Or you're going to be my age. You're going to go, I'm going to be 65 in 3 years. Dude. I'm going to go work at Disneyland. What I'm going to do? No, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay here. I told you my goal is you guys are going to have fun. You guys are just going to set out here, and all of a sudden I'm going to go, boom! No mouth to mouth, all right? You can beat on my chest all you want, but I don't want any mouth to mouth, okay? I couldn't think of a better way to die than dying preaching. Sorry, guys. I'm gone. I'll see you soon. No, take your time. I'll see you in heaven someday. But are you prepared? Do you have a plan? Or I'm just going to cruise through life. I'll just see what happens. I have money managers now. I went and talked to a money manager one time. Gave me a big old binder full of plan. Anybody ever, it was a freebie from my credit card company. Isn't that nice? That's where it was from, man. Send your money. Come here, you know. American Express. So you need to have a budget, have a plan. What are you going to do? Otherwise, you're going to stress out. You're going to worry. It's going to eat at you. Anybody get an ulcer? Anybody get a headache? And I get a headache once a month. I get a headache. Is it the first? I know why you get your headache. We got to make that plan. And then I like this. Like I said, we should make plans on God to direct us. God, how do you want me to handle this? One of the scariest things for me in this church happened at a point when all of a sudden the church was blessed, our finances were going well, and the church started raising what they were paying me. Now, you know what? It's really easy to make a plan and a budget when you barely have enough to get through. Anybody? You know, you just barely, all of a sudden, I got some discretionary money, and I never had that. Now it's like, this is scary. How am I going to handle this? Now I got more money than I need. You know, all of a sudden, I got leftover money at the end of the month. Not just $26 or $38. I got, you know, $100, $200 extra. You know, what am I going to do? You know, well, I'll save. You know, and I'll spend. And I saved. And I gave. You know, it's just, God blessed. And just, there was a time in here I was giving 20% of what I made to the church because I was blessed. And I still had plenty of money to go to Disneyland 3 or 4 times a year. Did you know that? I was going to Disneyland 3 or 4 times a year and giving 20% to the church. You know, I still had time to go have fun. You know? Now I can only go 3 times, not 4 and 5. Oh, man, that's suffering. No, I'm blessed. You know? What do you do when you get to that point when you have discretionary? How about this next one? He acted quickly. He acted quickly. So he summoned each one of his master's debtors. He summoned him. He's acting quickly. I'm going to tell you, now is the time to start making your plans. All right? Now is the time to make your plans. Now, most of us have computers, right? And most of you have smartphones. Now, I'm not going to advertise for a company, but you know, there's a company that makes money counting programs, you know, for businesses. You know, I'm not going to name them. I shouldn't name them. No, I'm not. There's one. They have one for the phone called, I'm going to tell you the one. It's called Mint on your phone. You can put your budget on there to keep track of everything for you. You can create your own budget. Keep in line and know where your money goes. I can push a button at home on my computer and tell you exactly where every penny I've made has went. Makes it nice when I do my income tax. I just push a button. There it all is. Keep track. But he acted quick. It's never too late to leave him. I like the one guy who used to teach this. Andy Stanley is his name, the pastor back in Atlanta, Georgia. He goes like this. Tithe 10, save 10, live on the rest. Tithe 10, save 10, live on the rest. That's 80%. And I thought that's a nice little plan. I don't know what's going to work for you, but we need to think about this, and we need to look at this and about this, because money is such a burden for us. You know, isn't that funny how money is a blessing and a burden? Anybody ever feel that? You know, it's a blessing and yet a burden in our life. So act quickly. How about this next one? The best use of money is to use it to get people into heaven. All right? The best use of money is to get people into heaven. You don't buy your friends, pay to help your friends get into heaven. I appreciate this church. There's people in this church that have given so kids could go to the state youth conference. Anybody? I remember when the Women's Missionary Union would pay for my kids to go to church camp because I didn't make much money. And the ladies in this church would put money together so my kids could go to church camp. This church, we're looking, we're in the midst of ministry to serve a little child in Haiti right now, making a difference in a child's life. We need to think about, are we helping somebody? Let me give you a little hint. You meet somebody here at church for the first time, take them to lunch. Hey, I'm glad to see you here at church. Take them to lunch. Relationship, they'll come back. You know, I'm going to tell you something I realized. People come to church to hear Gary preach, right? Why are you guys laughing? Because you know that ain't true. You come to church because this is your family, right? These are your friends. These are the people you're doing life with. That's where you want to be. So you come to church to be with those friends. You don't come to hear me. Hopefully I have something good to say, but you're really not here to hear me. You're here to see everybody else. And so you build those relationships. Look at what it says. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit, make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, what he's saying is when you're dead, they will welcome you into eternal life. Who's going to get to heaven and have a waiting crew to say, hey, I'm glad you're here. Thank you for taking me out to lunch. Thank you for helping me go to state youth conference. Thank you for helping me go to church camp. Thank you for ministering to me, giving me a cup of cold water when I was thirsty, clothing me when I was naked. Isn't that what the scripture says? See, that's the good use. That's how we use our money. That's the best use of our finances. Is how do we help others? Here's the image, as I read this passage, here's the image that came to my mind. I've talked a lot about Disneyland, because that's my temptation, okay? I went there for their 50th anniversary of Disney. I was there on July 19th. July 19th, it opened 1955. I was there in 2005 on July 19th, slept on the street to get into the park. I was one of the first 300-some people to get into the park that day, all right? I slept on the concrete so I can be the first 3,000 people that were walking in. They walk us out of the park and across and into the park. And as we walk into the park, on top of the bridge, you guys know what I'm talking about. Come on, you guys have been to Disneyland. On top of the train track, there are people lined up clapping for us. You're going down Main Street, and all the workers are out of the store, lined up down Main Street, shoulder to shoulder, high-fiving us with those big old Mickey hands. That was fun. You know, I'm in the first 3,000 in the park on this day, that special day, 8 o'clock in the morning, or 6 o'clock, I forget, man, it was early. Yeah. That's heaven. When you die and you go to heaven, and you got a welcoming crew there for you, high-fiving you, saying, thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for sending to the gospel mission. Thank you for, come on now, anybody? You guys got to say amen to that. Because that's the greatest reward. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a whole lot of fun. I lived 80 years. Oh, how fun that was. I'm going to live in heaven forever. And the joy I look forward to the most is somebody to walk up to me and say, Gary, thank you for telling me about Jesus. That's the crown. I don't want a crown with diamonds on it. Oh, look at me. Look, I did all that good work on earth, and look at my crown. Don't bend over to fall off, Gary. It's so big. No! That's not the crown. The crown is the gospel of Jesus Christ changed somebody's life, and they're hugging you and thanking you. I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm going to meet my cousin there, the one that shared Jesus with me. And when she comes, I'm going to welcome her. Because she's the one that sat at that table that had the courage to say to a kid who didn't want to know God, who thought Christians were jerks, didn't know how to cuss, man. They didn't know anything about words. You know. And she had the courage to sit there and say, let me tell you about these four spiritual laws. And she prayed with me, and I accepted Jesus Christ that night on a Sunday night at my aunt and uncle's house. I want to welcome her into heaven. If I beat her there, I'm going to welcome her into heaven. Because it changed my life. I tell her all the time, it changed my life. Because that's where I found my wife, at church. That's where I raised my kids, at church. Anybody? Yeah. Let me get to this last point real quick, man. I'm running out of time. I really went too long. One day you'll have to give an account to God. One day you're going to have to give an account to God. So God called the manager and asked, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management. Because you can no longer be my manager. One day you're going to have to give an account. As your pastor, one day I will stand before God, and I don't have to give an account of my life as a father, but my life as pastor of this church. And if I have done anything, said anything, God's going to hold me accountable for it. I'm going to have to give an account. Every one of us is. I'm not going to dwell on this. Just know, someday you're going to stand before God. Don't let that scare you. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't scare me. Because I already know. I went to court one time. Man, confessions. I went to court one time. And they give you a whole list of how you can plead. You know, mine was, they gave you, I'm serious. When you go to court, they have like 10 you can plead. Guilty, not guilty, guilty with an explanation. No contest. I forget, man. There's like 10 things you can plead. I picked mine out. Guilty with an explanation. When I get to heaven and God says, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I'm going to be guilty with an explanation. What's your explanation? Jesus Christ's grace. That's all I have. I have nothing. I can bring nothing to the table. When I give an account, God, it's your grace that's going to have to take care of it and pay the price. All right? Yeah. Here's my last one. This kind of goes with it. If you're faithful with a little, God can trust you with a lot, with more. As you're faithful, God will trust you. Do I wrestle with this? I've been faithful to God. How come I don't? My friend, I went to school. I was a year behind Rick Warren. He only has 25,000 people in church, okay? You know, I was a year behind him. I hung around with his mom and dad. I know his mom and dad before they paid. We ate at their house. We were friends with his mom and dad. He's got 25,000 people, and I got, I don't know, 100? God, I'm faithful. But you know what? I wouldn't want his headache. I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to be mean to you guys, but you 100 are enough. All right? You ever heard of herding cats? I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. But I love you guys. I know that. I'd give my life for you. I love you guys. Life is so good. You know, this family. I was telling somebody this week, this is my family. My brothers, two of my brothers have passed away. My mom's passed. I still have my dad and my sister. But you know who I'm closer to? You. Because this is my family. I don't care how many I have. I'm having a great time. God has trusted me with this privilege. and you trusted me to be your pastor. I thank you. That's all I want to do. I'm going to go out having fun because of who God is. And I hope I bless you. And I hope you're enjoying it. But it's a process. It's a process. If you're looking at stuff in your life and you say, I need this and I need that, just step back. Look at what it says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with very much. Abundant life, just be faithful. Just be faithful. I am so blessed. I have a home. You know how I got my home? This church decided to save some money and save $10,000 to where they were able to put my down payment on my house. That's how I got my home. You know what? I got a car. I got a car. You know who's paying for my car? You guys. I got a cell phone. I got a cell phone. No cell phone. I like one of those. Okay. You guys with your Apple. Look, it's got a bite out of it. Get a picture. Go read Genesis, okay? You know? Guess who pays my phone bill? I'm so blessed. I don't have a lot, but I am so blessed. I have more than I deserve. And God is blessed. Now, do I worry sometimes? Yeah, you know, when all of a sudden you're looking and it's like instead of $29 in the plus, you're $29 in the negative at the end of the month. It's like, oh, well, where am I going to get that $29? Then all of a sudden you get a $50 check in the mail. Anybody been there? So I'm going to tell you, don't worry. Financial health in a church is not, well, I gave 10%. That's not what I care about. I know. It's not what I give to the church. Do with the 100%, okay? I want you to be financially healthy. You don't have to give 2 cents to the church. You just have to be a good steward of what God's given you. And then God will take care of the rest. So I just ask you, how you doing? How you doing? You going to go home stressed and worried? I know where I'm going after church. Some of you guys know where I'm going too, right? Taco Bell. All right. I don't have to tip the people at Taco Bell. There's not 20% addition there. You know. But I'm going to go have a good lunch. Because of God. Are you blessed today? Has God blessed you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're the giver of all gifts, that you created this beautiful world, Lord. Beautiful colors, places to experience, and a love to share. But Lord, sometimes the stress of our finances, the frustrations of our money, destroy our abundant life. Lord, I want to pray for these who are here this morning that will see you as the owner of all that we have, that you've loaned us everything. It's a gift from you, and you truly have blessed us. So help us be good managers, Lord. Help us to look ahead and prepare. Help us to have a plan. Help us to do it quickly. Let us see the purpose of money as a tool to accomplish your will in your way. And above all, let us see a time of rejoicing because we've invested in relationships for the joy of heaven. Bless each life. Touch each heart. Encourage them. And give them a peace because you are the God who blesses. In Jesus' name, amen.